Some people have views of God that are so broad and flexible that it is inevitable that they will find God wherever they look for him. One hears it said that God is the ultimate, or God is our better nature, or God is the universe. Of course, like any other word, the word God can be given any meaning we like. If you want to say that God is energy, then you can find God in a lump of coal.
Weinberg is surely right that if the word God is not to become completely useless, it should be used in the way people have generally understood it, to denote a supernatural creator that is appropriate for us to worship.
Much unfortunate confusion is caused by failure to distinguish what can be called Einsteinian religion from supernatural religion. Einstein sometimes invoked the name of God, and he's not the only atheistic scientist to do so, inviting misunderstanding by supernaturalists eager to misunderstand and claim so illustrious a thinker as their own. The dramatic, or was it mischievous, ending of Stephen Hawking's A Brief History of Time,
"For then we should know the mind of God,"
is notoriously misconstrued. It has led people to believe, mistakenly of course, that Hawking is a religious man. The cell biologist Ursula Goodenough in The Sacred Depths of Nature sounds more religious than Hawking or Einstein. She loves churches, mosques and temples, and numerous passages in her book fairly beg to be taken out of context and used as ammunition for supernatural religion. She goes so far as to call herself a religious naturalist.
Yet a careful reading of her book shows that she's really as staunch an atheist as I am. Naturalist is an ambiguous word. For me, it conjures my childhood hero, Hugh Lofting's Dr. Doolittle, who, by the way, had more than a touch of the philosopher naturalist of HMS Beagle about him. In the 18th and 19th centuries, naturalist meant what it still means for most of us today, a student of the natural world. Naturalists in this sense, from Gilbert White on, have often been clergymen. Darwin himself was destined for the church as a young man, hoping that the leisurely life of a country parson would enable him to pursue his passion for beetles. But philosophers use naturalist in a very different sense, as the opposite of supernaturalist. Julian Baggini explains in Atheism, A Very Short Introduction, the meaning of an atheist's commitment to naturalism.
What most atheists do believe is that although there is only one kind of stuff in the universe, and it is physical, out of this stuff come minds, beauty, emotions, moral values, in short, the full gamut of phenomena that gives richness to human life.
Human thoughts and emotions emerge from exceedingly complex interconnections of physical entities within the brain. An atheist, in this sense of philosophical naturalist, is somebody who believes that there is nothing beyond the natural physical world, no supernatural creative intelligence lurking behind the observable universe, no soul that outlasts the body, and no miracles, except in the sense of natural phenomena that we don't yet understand. If there is something that appears to lie beyond the natural world, as it is now imperfectly understood, we hope eventually to understand it and embrace it within the natural. As ever, when we unweave a rainbow, it will not become less wonderful. Great scientists of our time who sound religious usually turn out not to be so when you examine their beliefs more deeply. This is certainly true of Einstein and Hawking. The present Astronomer Royal and President of the Royal Society, Martin Rees, told me that he goes to church as an unbelieving Anglican, out of loyalty to the tribe. He has no theistic beliefs, but shares the poetic naturalism that the cosmos provokes in the other scientists I've mentioned. In the course of a recently televised conversation, I challenged my friend, the obstetrician Robert Winston, a respected pillar of British Jewry, to admit that his Judaism was of exactly this character and that he didn't really believe in anything supernatural. He came close to admitting it, but shied at the last fence. To be fair, he was supposed to be interviewing me, not the other way around. When I pressed him, he said he found that Judaism provided a good discipline to help him structure his life and lead a good one. Perhaps it does, but that, of course, has not the smallest bearing on the truth value of any of its supernatural claims. There are many intellectual atheists who proudly call themselves Jews and observe Jewish rites, perhaps out of loyalty to an ancient tradition or to murdered relatives, but also because of a confused and confusing willingness to label as religion the pantheistic reverence which many of us share with its most distinguished exponent, Albert Einstein. They may not believe, but, to borrow Dan Dennett's phrase, they believe in belief. One of Einstein's most eagerly quoted remarks is,
"Science without religion is lame."